Hi, I'm Michael Cox, and you're listening to Michael's Office. This is a podcast that hosts my genuine, unfiltered, and unscripted thoughts about things going on in the entertainment world today. This week, it's a lot different, where I'll be talking about the current show I'm in and some movies that I saw and a play that I saw this weekend. So please, step into my office. All right. I would be talking about, like, some movie news and some other stuff. But I'll save that for next week because I want this week to be fully about the show I'm in and the movies and musical I saw this weekend. Yeah, I said play, but it's more accurately be a movie. A musical. What am I saying? I saw movies, but I saw a musical. I'm sorry that this episode is so late. I wish I did it on Sunday, but rehearsal happened. I never got to come home. And when I did, I was saving my voice for the show I'm in. I never found the time to do it. I should have, but I didn't. And I could have gotten it early on Sunday, but I did not, as I said before. I've been a bit busy, but now I finally have the time. At the expense of gas, of course, but I finally have the time to get this all done. I'm so happy to finally be recording this again. I'm saying finally a lot. I'm so happy that I finally got the time to do this and work on this. The movies I saw this weekend, which were saw recently, were The Highwayman on Netflix, Parasite, and then Ford vs. Ferrari. Parasite and Ford vs. Ferrari were like my birthday present because I love going seeing movies. So that's like a birthday present to me, and I've got a double feature. Another thing I saw this weekend was Newsies. Saw it on Saturday, the day after my birthday. That was just to celebrate my high school and I went to see their production. I'll be talking about that later. But as of right now, I'll be talking about my experience with Music Man. We're opening this weekend, so if you guys want to come, it is $250 if you're a student at MOBAP, which I highly doubt anybody from MOBAP is listening to this, but still. If you're just a regular old student, non-MOBAP student, then it is $5. If you are an alumni, a faculty, or staff member, or whatever, it is $10. And if you are a general audience, it is $15. So there is that. It starts at 7:30 tonight all the way through Saturday. Saturday also starts at 7:30 tomorrow. Not tomorrow. On Sunday, it starts at 2 o'clock. So get your tickets. It's going to be, I think, a very, very charming show. From what I tell, people really have enjoyed it. They really enjoyed it. We've got from the audience, 60% of people gave us a standing ovation. So that's a good sign. I bet it'll be even better by tomorrow. We just need to work on some things. This whole experience has been a great, really great learning experience since there's actually a professional actor working here and a bunch of people who have worked professionally. They've given me a lot of advice and things to change. And the notes I have, I've been taking them to heart and I've been making sure that I have changed my stuff. It's also been a great time of discovery and just making myself better, adding notes to myself, giving myself personal notes, and just applying them and becoming better for it. And I think everybody who has talked to me and told me things that I should do, and the director especially, Casey, she's fantastic, and she really has put this all together. The cast is really, really good. It, they, we could be a lot better if we, of course, everyone, anything can be better. We could be a whole heckin' lot better if we were more focused and a lot more professional backstage on the lead up to this. I think the night before we finally, like, the preview night was the only, the first night we actually got our butts in gear and focused. I would say everybody definitely got their butts in gear. And we focused up ever since then. And that goes to the... That's on us. I think they were... They had... There was an email sent out like basically saying, hey, if you continue this behavior, it ain't going to work out for you. Just saying. And that's for the theater majors. And that for the other people... They might even know, but we definitely got our bottom, we got our butts in gear, and it definitely changed. And I think if we continue to do that, the show is going to get better and better. But this show has been frustrating at times. It's been really frustrating. Some songs aren't as good as they could be. One song, my favorite song in the whole entire show, isn't as good as it could be, Rock Island. But that's not our fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's just not everybody has been here. Or when everybody has been, there have been some technicality, like somebody losing their voice. And we couldn't do it. It messed everybody up. Everybody had to be there for the song to work. And every time we rehearsed it, not everyone was there, or not everyone was up to the plate because of health reasons, or they had something there. Because of health reasons, basically, or little technical things. Or they were focusing on their bigger parts. Like, most of the people that were in that song, half the people that are in the song were the part of the quartet, so they were focusing on getting their harmonies down in the other songs. And it's frustrating to me when this – I didn't want to say – that sounds very self-centered. I said, hey, this is my favorite song. You guys should do it right. Sometimes you're not going to always get what you want when you're doing a show. Sometimes your favorite song won't be performed right or the way you want it to be. It's a song. This happened with... Actually, no, this is... I'm going to just assume that this happened... Who I'd Be from Shrek when I went to see Crystal City show. That happened. Who I'd Be is my favorite song. And the guy who played Shrek couldn't live it up. Couldn't sing. He just could not sing. And his acting was great. I liked when he was speaking as Shrek. He was very funny. He was very, very funny. He's a funny dude. He has great comedic time. He just can't sing. You're just, when you're going to go see a production or you're going to be a part of production, sometimes your favorite song, the people who are doing it aren't going to live up to those standards. And, sometimes it won't even be the performer's fault. It'll just be the fact that they can't be there all the time. Yeah. Now, on some more positive note, the cast is real. Going back to the cast is really phenomenal. In every show I've been a part of, I don't think there's ever been a miscast. There's been times where it's like, oh, this person could have played this person, it would have been fine. The Hollow is what comes to mind. Somebody could have replaced somebody, and it would have been fine. But, yeah, so far there have been no miscasts, and this was definitely perfectly casted. Going in, thought, oh, this person probably would be better for this person. This person, I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised if he got it. But it works. I'm just happy with the cast that we have now. The person playing Harold Hill, Neil, always brings his A game, along with Cameron Tyler and Lindsay and multiple others. They always bring their A game, and it's such an honor to be on the same stage with them and finally getting to work, like, perform with Cameron and Lindsay and Neil, finally, after watching them for a little bit. It's always great to see them perform. And, like, one person that I thought wasn't as good as the others was Lindsay. And then when you start talking to her and you actually start performing on stage, like, okay, no, she's just as good. That reminds me, I'm going to bring analogy here. Like, what Shinsuke Nakamura and Finn Balor and AJ Styles and a couple other people who criticize John Cena, they're like, he's not as good as – and Roman Reigns, same thing with Roman Reigns. They said, man, this guy isn't – wow, this guy doesn't look like it. And then they actually get in the ring with them. They're like, okay, never mind. I take all my criticism back. He is as good. There's a reason why they're pushing him. Granted, they shouldn't have been pushed, but they had a reason why they were at the top spot, because they could live up to what the people want, what the hierarchy wants, what the director wants, what Vince McMahon wants. They're good. There's a reason why they're the leads, or they're the reason why they're the top dog. And yeah, that's was my experience with Lindsay. Like, Lindsay, she's okay. And then when you get on stage, you're like, okay, never mind. I take all my words back. You helped me a lot. another person I can't help praising again is just all the dancers. Like, geez, I wish I could be a part of the dance number, but all the dancers really help bring the charm of the show and make it come alive, I would say. They really are they're not the heart of the show. Harold Hill and Marion Peru are the heart of the show. But more specifically, Harold Hill is the heart of the show. He carries the show on his back. But they are what makes the show come alive, I would say, and they definitely are living up to it. They're all so sweet. Like, all of them. None of them have, like, something that'll make you want to die. They're not stuck up. They're all so sweet. They're all positive people. Like, literally, one of the dancers, his name's Dylan. Oh, my gosh. He is so positive. Oh, my gosh. He is so encouraging. So sweet. He's really funny too. He's got like he'll say all these little comments. He's like, wow, you're doing a really great job. And then he always has a smile on his face. And I can't bring enough positives. I can't say enough positive things about him. He's also a joy to watch dancing. Oh my gosh, you can tell he loves it. And another person who's helped me, other than Lindsay and Eliana, I gotta praise Eliana. Again, she was like, when after chapel, she was, or before chapel, no, before chapel, she was in character as Ethel, and she gave herself a character voice, and I didn't realize she did. And that she was just in character the whole time. And she was just thoroughly enjoying it. And you could tell she was loved being her character. And I definitely have a lot to learn from them. There only have been a few times where I could say I was in character. I knew my character well enough. One was when I was at a murder mystery party. But the reason was because they were given like every piece of information. I'm like, okay, so I'll do that. Nick Bottom was somebody like that. Yeah, you just have to know your characters. And I still have a lot to learn from them. Another person I was going to praise, somebody else. David Blazer, the professional actor there. Yeah, he's really, really good. He's really, really good. And I am so happy. I was like, I didn't know what to expect from him. I knew he was going to do a good job, but he's really, really good. And he's always really, he's really, really funny too. And I like being on the stage with him. And if I get to watch him perform, just listening to him when I'm like backstage on the microphone, he always he has a lot of funny lines, and I'm sad when some people don't laugh at them. But yeah. And some more people that come to mind, like Bradley. Bradley, I didn't expect. I didn't know Bradley was as good as he was. Like, I knew he was good because he always played like the lead. He was usually the leads, I'm fairly sure. But I didn't know he was this. I didn't know how funny he was until I started interacting with him, and he was backstage and he was making all these jokes and he was being hilarious on stage and doing all these little things that made it great. And I'm super, super happy that he came to MoAP so I could work MoBAP and I could work with him. And again, it's just been an honor learning. Everybody. Oh yeah, another person that comes to mind, Cassie. She's been a huge help. She plays Mrs. Peru, and she's been a huge help too. She's told me some things, and we've gotten closer because of it. But she's been a great help. And David has also provided some things. Granted, they were like a backhand one comment piece of advice was like a backhanded thing toward me because I asked for some notes, and he's like, nope, not going to give you any. And then a joke of me, he gave me a note. He saw like a note. It was, I'm like, eh. But he also gave me a backhanded comment. He was like warning me. It was like a warning to everybody, but he was like a backhanded comment toward me. But I understand why. He said, don't give other actors notes. If you do, it'll get you fired real quick. I'm like, oh, thanks. Thanks, David. Thank you. But yeah, going back to that email that was sent where it was basically a warning, I think we did need that to shape up and get better and to get where we are. Thursday night, through the half of Act 1, something fell off. Like, throughout the whole night, something felt off. I think it's because we had an audience. Just something felt off. But, I think it's going to be better tonight. It's going to keep getting better over the weekend. And I am happy to be a part of it. And just work with these amazing people. And now my time with Charlie. I feel like I'm really close to living up to Charlie's full potential. My performance full potential is Charlie. Just almost there. I'm almost there. I think either by tomorrow or tonight, or maybe even Sunday. Definitely during this performance, these performances, I will live to the full potential. I feel like I could play as Charlie. Would I play him again? Oh, heck yeah. I'll definitely play Charlie again. He has been, I think they gave me, Casey gave me this role for me to learn. And she's testing me. I do feel like she's testing me to see if I can, since they are giving me, they're gifting me Charlie as a way to test me, see if I can do characters with radically changing objectives, really fast objective changing, or changing my objective in quick instances, and I am living up to what I think the director wants. And I think they are testing me, see, like, if he can do this well in a minor role, it's just, then we can trust him with bigger roles. And I do feel like they are testing me with this character, and they're seeing what I can do. And yeah, I do feel, as I said before, Charlie has been like a learning experience for me. He has helped me learn, become better, and I will continue to become better as I have my stay here at MoBap. And I will learn from the best people there and learn all the things that will help me become the best or even better than I am now. And I will continue to get better as I learn. Or just learn more. I didn't need to say learn. But as I will continue to learn, I do think the people said positive things, but I will continue to get better and better. And that's what I'm – the reason I'm there at college is to learn. And I really want to showcase that. And I think after this, I think they say, hey, we can trust this guy. I hope that's what I will get out of this, by people backstage and the director, other people, that this guy has come to learn. All right. That's my little thing about Music Man. Come see it this weekend at MoBap, the main campus. It is at 7:30 tonight and tomorrow. And then on Sunday, it is 2 o'clock. Hope to see you guys there. All right. That's one theater thing down. Now on to the other theater thing, which is Newsies. I went to see Newsies at Hillsborough High School, my old high school, my alma mater, or whatever it's called. I'm an alumni now. And I gotta say, I really, really liked it a lot. It is not the best high school performance I've ever seen. However, it is the best I've seen in quite some time. And it's a refreshing... It was something refreshing to see after seeing a bunch of high school shows. Just, it was really, really, really refreshing to see people I know and see them perform on the stage I loved so much. And just to see how people have grown, and can't wait to see the one act that's coming up. It's been the better one I've seen in a long time. However, it's not without its faults, of course. It's not without its faults. I'll get into those later. But the positives right now are, oh, heck yeah, they're great singers. They're real great singers. Some weren't. I'm not going to get into who. I'll go into that later, too. There was actually actual choreography in this thing. There were tap dancing, and people were like doing splits and slides on the floor and swing choir stuff, which is fantastic. I love it so much. But some of the tap dancing I'll get into later too. The acting was pretty good for what it was. The casting I liked a lot. I really liked the casting. Angelina, who played Catherine. Man, good for her. She's saying way high in her range for Watch What Happens. You could tell it was up in her range, but she was trying. She was trying. And she struggled to take a breath. The granted, the song's really hard, and you have to take a breath like... And, yeah. Oh, God. Oh. Peter did a real good job. I mean, with the accent, he sounded like a completely different person. He had the best accent there. It sounded very natural. Granted, Peter's not really an emotional person, per se. He likes to hide his emotions well, so that's probably... He's not really an emotional person. And... my problem with his acting was he couldn't really cry. But that's hard to do. You know? Another person I appraise pretty high praises for is Drayton, who played Pulitzer. His voice was great, and I'm kind of sad they didn't give him a microphone, but I think because he's just so loud and he knows how to project. Something I need to know. I keep forgetting. To do sometimes. Yeah, he looked great. He looked really great in the suit, and he did a real great job of being Pulitzer. The ensemble was really great, as I said before. I liked the set. The set was real nice. Oh. And Jeremy, oh, I forgot his last name. Jeremy, when he was the newspaper provider, he had a real great he has a good character voice already, but his accent really helped it. And I really enjoyed his inflections. I think that's what they're called. The way he talked, I really enjoyed how he talked in the thing. And also, Elena Riedenhauer, oh my gosh, she has great facial expressions. Like, some of her facial expressions during the whole during the whole show were utterly hilarious. I remember two jokes, basically. Whatever, comedic moments. Gosh dang it. English is hard, okay? two comedic moments in the show were just her facial reactions, which were fantastic. Oh my gosh, they were great. I do like the costumes. Oh, and Elizabeth. I'm glad that Elizabeth Beffa finally got a meaningful role. meaningful role in a production. And now for the bad. Some could not sing, and it sucked. But some, it was out of their control, and I know they could sing. It was just some things were out of their control. They didn't cheat. They did. They cheated themselves out. They had their backs to the audience a lot, and I didn't like it. Some people didn't have microphones, so we couldn't really hear them. It sounded muffled to like people who were hard of hearing. Just hard of hearing. The stage didn't feel like it was big enough. So during one of the tap dancing scenes, they all felt squeezed. They all were squeezed in. And yeah, it felt like they were squeezed, so they couldn't do some tap dancing moves, which made me sad. And I never felt bored during the whole thing, but sometimes their energy wouldn't be up. That was something that came to mind. Their energy wasn't up. They're like, ha, ha, ha. They weren't going, ha, ha, ha. They weren't actually putting emphasis behind it. But I am real excited to see what they'll... this isn't a criticism from positive things. I don't think it was supposed to be funny, but something I did find funny was when Jack and some other people were at the dancing thing, like the bar, the vaudeville thing. I just found it funny that they had high school girls doing kind of a seductive dance. I just found it funny. I'm like, they're in high school and they're trying to be seductive. I bet the people behind there know how to be. It's just, I found it funny that they were doing, that a high school show is doing something that they're trying to be seductive and racy and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, this is happening. It just makes me laugh. I just thought it was funny. Another positive thing that comes to mind is Morgan. Oh my gosh. Morgan hasn't been confident singing. And now like, I finally got to hear her sing, hear her voice. And I'm like, yeah, she's good. She's real good. She's real freaking good. So there is that. Yeah. So give me a moment. Yeah. So I really did enjoy, Music Man. I just had to take care of something. I'm sorry. I'm not Music Man. Newsies. I really did enjoy Newsies. I can't wait to see their one act coming up on December 13th. So if you guys want to go see it, it is on December 13th at Hillsborough High School. And now I'm going to talk about some movies I saw this past week. Starting with The Highwayman, a Netflix original. Now The Highwayman. Highwaymen. The Highwaymen. And, yeah. That film, I think I was with my same problem with The King. I didn't know what to expect going in. I like slightly expected this one thing. And I didn't get that. And that's what threw me off. It was a lot slower paced than I remembered. And it was the most, I feel like it was the most accurate film to how a trackdown of a takedown for some criminals ever. It was slow. It was just, it was methodical. It was different. They were definitely like keeping it true. Like it won't be this high octane. Like they're going to be shooting at each other constantly. It's going to take this long, and it's going to be a lot more talking to people and getting information out of them than it is just shooting at each other and chasing each other down in cars and stuff like that. The Highwaymen is basically about the guys who took down Bonnie and Clyde. And it was nice to see the people for who Bonnie and Clyde were. I do feel like they glamorized like this. They went too far with making Bonnie and Clyde these monsters. I don't think they may have, but I don't believe they killed cops outright, like legitimately waited just to kill cops. I think they did kill cops, like when they were doing a bank job, I think they killed cops. I do believe when they were doing like taking money, I do believe they killed cops. Like on the way in, they're going to kill cops. I think they did kill some police officers on their way in to take them out to make sure they don't stop them. And I do believe they shot at cops, and like they weren't trying to shoot cops, trying to keep them away. They were shooting cops to kill them. And I don't think Bonnie – I knew Bonnie was in on it, like unlike in the musical Bonnie and Clyde, where Bonnie was just like kind of this innocent thing and she'd been corrupted by Clyde. And she was the really trying to get out of it. Well, Clyde was the madman. I knew they were both crazy, but I didn't think she was more of the – she would do these brutal things for fun. She may have, but from what I call, she wasn't horrible. She wasn't this monstrous. I feel like they just turned up the monstrous things they did up to 11. I don't believe they killed cops in the film. Like the way they did in the film. I do believe they killed cops, but not in the way they did in the film. And Kevin Costner does an okay job. It's not his best performance. It's a good performance, but it's not it. It's overshadowed by Woody Harrelson's performance in the film. I love Woody Harrelson. And, yeah, he definitely is the guy you should watch in this film. If you're going to watch this film, watch it for Woody Harrelson's character and the way he looks at things. There are two really great monologues in here. I wouldn't use them in an audition. They're not that good, but they're good. They're good for the movie. They're real good in context. They're real good in context. And it does get a little frustrating when they almost have Bonnie and Clyde. It gets a little frustrating when they almost do, but then they get away. And just the ending's really, really great too. The ending is a great payoff. I would say the first two acts of the film are like pretty boring and slow paced, while the third act, where they're actually the actual takedown of Bonnie and Clyde, that's where the film really picks up, and that's where a lot of the great moments happen in the film. And yeah, just Also some interesting like facts about the film where they were both Bonnie and Clyde were like small people. They were small. I didn't know that. I thought they were actually decently sized, like average sized humans. Guess I was wrong. After that, on my birthday, I saw Ford versus Ferrari and Parasite. I'll talk about Parasite first. Oh, you know what? Sorry. Oh my gosh. I'll finish Highwayman. If you guys want an actual like film that's pretty accurate, that's really pretty accurate to the actual events of what happened, of a certain event, yeah, watch The Highwayman. That's a fairly accurate thing. You said, if you want accuracy, go look at a documentary or something. No, you can have a film be accurate and still be at least a little entertaining. It is, The Highwayman was definitely better than The King, but it still isn't one of the better films of the year. It's good. That's all I say. It's good. It's good. Now we have Parasite. Whew! This is one of the craziest films of the year. While The Lighthouse was crazy for the sake of being crazy, well, that's currently my favorite film of the year, this one felt like it was crazy in all the right ways. Like it was purposeful in being crazy and purposeful in all the insane things it did. And, I really liked the, I really liked the dichotomy and the just dichotomy of the two families that this film has. Parasite, if you guys don't know, Parasite is a Korean film that is about this poor family who basically mooching/leeching off this rich family after they get hired. And they start tricking this family to pay them. And yeah, it's an interesting ride from there. In Parasite, you think it is going to go one way and then it goes somewhere completely different. It's also really fun. It's a black comedy. It's funny. It's funny when it wants to be. And there are probably some things like specific like pieces of humor that's only for like Koreans and stuff, but it was funny nonetheless. And it was ingenious, the Kims, the poor family, how they outsmarted this, these rich folks. And there were a lot of great quotes and things to live by in this film, and little like pieces of advice and things to live by if you watch this film. Like one quote that always stuck in my mind, and it's very brutal, is that one quote that sticks in my mind is, they're nice because they have to be nice. They're nice. They're rich, so they have to be nice. Or they're rich because they're nice. They're rich. They're nice because they're rich. And I do feel like that's kind of true with some people. Some people who are better off than others, they tend to be nicer and a lot more generous and giving and stuff because, like, oh, I'm living life well. I'm living a nice life, or I'm living life well. And, yeah, I could sacrifice a little bit of money to get this person. Or I could house these people. Or I could just be nice and be generous because I can. And life's going good. And when you're poor, living in poverty, it'd be hard to be nice. It's hard. I think it'd be, there are people, there are homeless people who are the sweetest people in the world. And there are people in poverty who are poor, and they have huge hearts. And they're great people. But I can also, it'd be hard to have not have a resentment to people who are better off than you. Like, way better off than you. I'm not one of those people. If I were living in off conditions, maybe I would have this resenting feeling toward the rich. Maybe I would. It's also like a scathing satire on class and stuff. It's just, it shows the differences between the two classes, like poor and rich, very obviously. And the sets and shots were really, really impressive. And this is, I think, the best thriller I've ever seen. I don't think I've felt more frightened for a family in my entire life than I did with this family, the Kims. Ugh. Such a great film. And despite it being Korean, you don't notice it. You get used to it. And a person made a criticism like, well, it's Korean. What else do you want them to do? Speak English? Well, I'm like, no. The point of saying that, making that comment, is that you get used to it. Because a general – this is like me trying to recommend it to a general audience member to see this film. Because it's so good. It doesn't matter if it's in English or not. If you get used to it, that shows you how good the film is, and that you shouldn't care if it isn't American or it's in English. You should just see the film nonetheless because it's that good. Yeah, this was a really fantastic film, and kind of scary that the fact that something like this could happen, and you just hope it doesn't happen to you. Yeah, next is Ford versus Ferrari. This was an experience. It was easily, other than Lighthouse and Parasite, this is one of the most intense films of the year. If you bite your nails, you're probably going to bite your nails. If you like sitting on the edge of your seat, you're going to sit on the edge of your seat. This film is something to experience. Just like Parasite and Lighthouse, and it is a fantastic freaking film. Bale and Damon put in fantastic performances. They they are so good together, and the film was really, really funny. Easily one of the funniest films I've seen in a long time. Not a long time. This year, this was a really funny film, and seeing their journey to going to Le Mans was engaging, and it was like a big. It was an underdog. It was another underdog story. Other than Dolomite Is My Name, it's another underdog story, and a great one at that. And this film, if this was film was being honest with itself, it wasn't Ford versus Ferrari. It was Ken Miles, which is Christian Bale's character, and Carroll Shelby, which was Matt Damon's character, versus Ford versus Ferrari. It was the story of those two guys taking it to Ford and Ferrari. This film was a film that needed to be made along with Parasite. It was a film of its message was saying, let creators create. Don't micromanage them. Don't try to think what you think is best. Let creators create, and they will do something fantastic. And it really hammers that message home with Ford constantly doing little things, putting roadblock after roadblock after roadblock from them winning the Le Mans. And the reason for it is because one character does something and that practically ruins everything. It does. It ruins. Sometimes it would just stop the whole process and it wouldn't be fair. And it's frustrating. And when you finally see them overcome that roadblock, it provides you with such satisfaction. And James Mangold, I don't think he's ever put out a bad film. Let me check his filmography to back up that claim. Check James Mangold. We go Rotten Tomatoes. There we go. Did he direct this weirdest thing? No, he didn't. Generally speaking, he did Logan, which was lauded. He did The Wolverine, Night and Day. I enjoyed that film a lot. 3 to 10 to Yuma, Walk the Line. Identity, Copland. He did Oliver and Company? Oh, bro, this guy, I don't think he's ever done a bad film. He has not ever done a bad film. This guy knows what he's doing, and, James Mangold, I think, will continue to be on a roll with these films. He will continue to do so. It was a really, really great film. And even though the ending was not what I wanted it to be, it was just realistic and it was sad. And it just shows what the way or how businesses work. And sometimes it shows you won't always get what you want, and it sucks. But that's how life is, and that's how life works. Yeah. So, yeah. I believe Ford or Ferrari. I think Ford versus Ferrari is in my top five. I could be wrong. I might move it up after thinking about it. Let me check what beats. If it's not in the top five, then... Oh. There's a reason why it's not in the top five. Never mind. Yeah, I was about to say, like, if it was Spider-Man Far From Home. Like, that's better than Spider-Man Far From Home. And it's better than Avengers Endgame, in my opinion. But yeah, it's not better than Godzilla King of the Monsters, in my opinion. Whew, wow. Such a fantastic film. Two fantastic films, and I'm so glad that I got them for my birthday. All right, I think that'll be it for this week's episode of Michael's Podcast. I will try my absolute darndest to get another episode recorded for this Sunday. All right, I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. Thank you so much. Please step up my office. Have a nice night.